Welcome everyone back. So we're going to do the fifth parak of Nesuv HaTorah today. Today will be less of a philosophical discussion of the Maharal, but a very impassioned parak of the Maharal. This is probably, I remember the first time I learned this, I was in Shalim and I loved it. I have it underlined from those days. And I remember it's just very fiery of the Maharal. He's very passionate about what he writes here. And it's something that I myself also, I guess, have felt passionate about over the years. It's a powerful idea. So the first, he starts off, though, in the Perek Hay of Nesuv HaTorah, he starts off with the Gemara in Erevin. If you look through, not that you're paying attention necessarily, a lot of the Gemara they quotes are basically chunked in like certain areas. So a lot of the Gemaras, a lot of the Agadahs regarding Talmud Torah are in Erevin daf nun dalet, daf. So he says on the Gemara in Erevin and Dalet Amud Beis, "Amar Rabbi Shizvi, Mishnah Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ma'idasiv lo yachroch Ramiya Sido lo yichle lo yarech yamim tzayit haramai." So the pasuk says lo yachroch Ramiya Sido, which basically means that the Ramai, which sounds like the trickster, will not be able to hold on to that which he captures. That which he captures won't live. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains lo yarech yamim tzayit haramai. He won't have long days. The one who's a tricky person when he catches things. Why? So the assumption is, the way that the Rashi explains over there, is that because he catches it, but then he's trying to catch the next thing, he's not holding on to it. So by the time he catches the next animal, his first animal is going to be gone. Basically, that's not a way to capture animals, because you capture one animal, and then you're still focused on capturing the next animal, so the first animal you caught leaves. We'll explain the mashal in 1 second. The mashal is someone who catches birds. In Rishon, Mishaber, Knafav, Miskay, and Biyadav. In Lav, in Miskay, and Biyadav. If a person captures birds, if he breaks the wings of the birds the moment that he catches them, then he'll be able to hold on to them. But if you catch a bird and you don't break its wings, so what's it going to do? It's going to fly away, and you're not going to be able to hold on to it. Now, what does all this mean? All this means, the way Rashi explains the Gemara and the way the Maharal clearly assumes the Gemara means, is that if a person tries to learn Torah and grab a lot at once, you're not going to get it, right? If you're trying to grab everything at one time and say, I'm going to have all of this, right? So you're never going to have it. The only way to hold on to Torah is to do it little by little, is to take little by little, then you'll hold on to it. If you try and grab a lot at a time, you're not going to be able to hold on to it. And this makes sense just to speak it out. The Maharal kind of speaks it out here, but it's definitely built on his philosophy. Again, which we spoke about many times, which is that if you don't know this yet, you haven't been listening to Shirim, or you haven't been coming to the Shirim, but the main idea of the Maharal throughout all of this about Torah is that Torah is sefli. It's something that's it's removed, it's distant from that which we are naturally accustomed to. Something that's distant, something that's foreign to us, it's very hard to hold on to that, it's very hard to keep it, which we spoke about last week, it's very hard to grab onto in the first place. You have to do it bit by bit. But the Maharal in this perek, and we'll talk about this as we really, the focus of this year is going to be one topic tonight. It's not going to jump around at all. The real point of the Maharal here is that you have to have a focus on holding on to Torah. And if you think that you're going to do it all at once, it's not going to happen. Everybody, anybody who learns in yeshiva, anyone who learns in yeshiva has a moment, if you're actually learning, they have a moment that they kind of look around the Beis Medrash and they think, like, I'll never know Torah. Everyone has that moment. If you don't have that moment, then you haven't really learned in yeshiva. Because at some point, you're, like, learning and you're just looking around. You're like, holy cow, like, look at all these svarim. I will never know anything, right? I'll never know anything. There's no chance I'm going to know anything. Look at all these volumes. Look at all these books. It's not even just, like, I'll never know Pesukim in the Torah. I'll never know Gemara. Are you kidding me? I've learned, like, 30 blot this year. There's 2,711 blot. I'll never know anything, right? And we all get a sense of defeat when we have that moment. Again, we have that moment again in life. I'm not going to lie. I've had that moment many times since, you know, my first time having that moment. But I remember very vividly having that moment my first time when I was in yeshiva in Israel. We experience this moment of, like, how am I going to do it? And when we have that moment, so again, maybe you guys are like me, maybe you're not like me. When I had that moment in Shana Aleph, so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to learn a million mesechtas. Like, I'm just going to, like, dominate, you know, like, I'm just going to learn, and, like, learn all these mesechtas and try and get everything now, because I the quicker I do it, you know, the more I'll know. And there's always that guy. It was not me, actually, but it was one of my friends who literally went through, like, half of Shas in, like, 2 years of Israel. There's always that guy. He was brilliant. He was really very smart. He went through, like, he just pounded through Gemaras, right? But he himself will tell me, you know, that, you know, he remembers almost nothing of that experience, right? And again, it's not to take away from the experience of learning. And we'll talk about tonight there's definitely you know, something to be said for the experience of learning on its own. If you've never heard the mashal, then I'll say the mashal. It's not here. It's a mashal, and it's a medrash in Avos Reb Nasan, right? It's a real medrash. It's not one that's quoted as a medrash. It's a medrash where the king told his servants to go out and fill up his barrels, and the barrels had holes in it, right? So all the servants stopped doing it after one time, and there's one guy who keeps filling it up even though it's emptying out, and the other servants say to him, "You're an idiot. What are you doing? You know, the barrel's emptying out every time you do it." He said, "I don't know. The king told me to do it. I'm going to keep doing it." And sure enough, the king comes back and he says, "All you guys, what did you do here? You didn't do what I told you." They're like, yeah, the thing has a hole in it." He said, "Yeah, I just want you to clean it out. All right, I just want you to clean it out. Every time the water went through it, it was cleaning it out." And the Medrash there says that the Nimshal is that that's what Torah is, right? Torah comes into us, it's going to exit us, we're not going to hold on to all of it, but when it comes into us, it cleanses us and it cleans us. And that idea is true. That is 100% true. We should never get dejected when we forget Torah. We should always feel that we're always going to forget things. We don't want to get dejected when we forget Torah. But the flip side, and we're going to talk about tonight, and it may be a little bit harsh, is the flip side is that we have to set ourselves up for success on some level to hold on to Torah. We have to, on some level, feel that we're going to make it, we're going to acquire Torah, we're going to hold on to Torah. And the reason for that is very important. But in order to get there, we're going to take one step first, and this is the part where the Maharal is very harif. I'm going to read it inside just because it's worthwhile. But the Gemara in Brachos says, Haskes Ushma. The Pasuk says, Haskes Ushma. What does that mean? Has li'afar kach kites. First, has, listen, and then kites, analyze, break it down. And Rashi on that Gemara and Brachos of that Sama Kimla basis, what does that mean? Has, yafakach, kites. So Rashi says, close your mouth and listen, and after you really know Torah, achetieshkura b'fichach, after Torah is shakur b'fichach, it's clear in your mouth, then you can analyze the Torah. And the Maharal uses this Gemara and this Rashi as a springboard to say that in yeshivas, and again, this is just the Maharal talking, it's not me, he says in yeshivas, they focus so much on this pilpul, on this idea of like analyzing and doing that, but if you don't know anything, so you don't need to analyze, right? You can't analyze things if you don't know things, but you have to know Torah in order to analyze it first. And the Maharal says, I'm going to read it to you because it's worth reading inside, they have b'churim rafei hashanim, these young students, im hayavahem girsa diaknusa, if they had the girsa diaknusa, if they had this naturally taught part, in safek klashi regilim yodim kam v'kam mesafos, it's obvious, there's no doubt that they would know many mesafos, kodim shiachasu l'chufa lisa nashim, before they got married. The ata ein lahem uma b'yadam, they don't have anything in their hands. So the Maharal says in his time, in the 15th century, I believe when the Maharal lived, the Maharal says, in his time, they knew nothing. They knew nothing. They didn't have anything, right? So don't feel bad about yourself. In the Maharal's time, they knew nothing, right? Before they got married. And he says, why do they know nothing? This is the great line. He says, V'hakol b'shvil shelimudam tosfos. The reason is because they learned tosfos. Davar shehu hosafa. It's an addition. V'chilo hayatov yoser sheikna gufat hamas kodem. And it would be better that they actually learned Gemara first. And this is the best line. V'hakol b'shvil shenitfisu at tosfos etzla Gemara. And the reason that this is true is because they printed the Tosos next to the Gemara. Had they not printed the Tosos there, people wouldn't learn Tosos. And he says, "Ilu nitkusu piske harash," and had they put the rush there, "Vishar chidushim shachiru ha'afronim yuchas kvodem ifla Gemara," or they put any other compilation of the afronim there, "Hakol hayu hakol lon mashitas ha'halacha avanar mektanim," then people would learn the halacha, even the young children. And he goes on to talk about this point, which is, if you're not familiar, right, the Shitas of Tosos is Pilpul, basically. Tosos is the original Pilpul. Because Tosos is all about comparative, right, what this Gemara is contradicting that Gemara, right? Tosos is all about, like, kind of comparing the different Gemaras and making one entity of the Gemaras. The rush, the riff, right, the tradition of those Rishonim is to just get the bottom line halacha. They're not trying to compare different sugyas. They're trying to say, what's the halacha? What do we take out of this Gemara? And the Maharal's point, what he's very adamant about, is that what happened is that everyone's learning Tosos, everyone's doing E, and everyone's doing these Lamza Shiurim, right? And what they really need to do is acquire Torah. What they need to do is have some Torah. Once you have Torah, then you can analyze Torah. And again, the Maharal's point is definitely, I want to be clear, I can't lie about what he's saying. The Maharal's point is definitely that ultimately the problem is that we learn too much Ian, and if we trained our children at a younger age to learn Bikiyas, it'd be much better for them. You know, if we had Bikiyas as a focus when they're younger, it would be much better for them. But the second point of the Maharal, again, not that I don't agree with that point, but I don't want to focus on that point. The farther out of focus are the next one of the Maharal. Why is it so important to have Torah? Why is that so important? So the first point the Maharal is making is that it's important to know Torah because that way you can analyze Torah properly, right? You can really only make a proper analysis if you actually know something. If you don't know anything, so your analysis might be correct on this page, right? But on the next page, it may be wrong, right? There's so many times when we think we have a great analysis and we learn one more line in the Gemara and we're like, oh, actually, it makes no sense. The Gemara says, right, says explicitly against that, right? You can't really analyze or know anything. But the deeper point is what the Maharal says next. There's a Gemara that I'm trying to think, actually, how many of you? Avi, Kobi, and Shalom definitely learned with me in Bava Kama. Noam, no, we didn't do it in Kedushin, although it is in Kedushin, and Ralph, we didn't do it in Chumash. There's a Gemara in Bava Kama and Kedushin, and the Gemara says, Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa, right? Great is Talmud, right? Why is Talmud great? Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Great is learning because it brings us to action. And says the Maharal, the traditional explanation of that is, and this is actually how Rashi and the Gemara seems to learn it, what does that mean, great as Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa? It means that you can't do anything unless you know the halacha, right? You can't do anything unless you know the law, right? Fellow Talmud, what's great about Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa? It's going to bring you to action. It's going to, if you don't know anything, you can't do anything, right? There's so many halachas that we don't practice, not because we don't want to practice them, we literally don't know the halacha, right? We're not aware of it. You know, there's so many things where like, oh, I didn't know that's a halacha, right? I still learn things. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that's a halacha. Like now I'm learning it. Okay, I'm going to start to, you know, try and be mekayem that. The Maharal says that's not shot on the Gemara though. That's not what it means. What the Gemara means is that we learned in the first week, right? That what's the idea? Torah is the foundation of everything in the world, right? Torah is right. The staka baraisa barama. Hashem looked in the Torah and created the world. Which means what came first, the mitzvahs or the Torah? The Torah came first. The Torah is the foundation for every single mitzvah. Again, not on a technical level of how you fulfill the mitzvah, but learning Torah is the foundation of any action that you're going to then do, right? The foundation of everything is Talmud Torah. And what he says is that what the pshat is that the moment that you learn Torah, you're now enabling yourself to fulfill the ma'isim. And again, not in a technical sense that when I learn the halachas of Borer, I now know how to separate things on Shabbos. No. When I learn Baba Kama, right, I now enable myself to put on tzitzis, right? When I properly learn a sugya, right, so I enable myself to now act in a certain way based on the fact that I have Torah. And the Maharal then talks very passionately about the idea that the only way that Torah is going to have a real impact on us is if Torah is in us. And if Torah is not in us, right, then it doesn't matter how much we learn, right? It's not going to have that impact. The impact of Torah is that Torah becomes part of my essence, a part of who I am. I always say, again, I've been exposed to many different gedolim in my lifetime. Thank God, it's one of the great things that I've had the pleasure of is that I have a lot of relationships, a lot of really, really special rabbeim over the years, and I find it to be a big privilege. And I always think of Rav Schechter when I think of this idea. Rav Schechter is someone who, like, everything he does is just like he lives halacha. He just does. He lives like his life is Torah. Every aspect of who he is, right, is Torah. There's no other lens with which he sees anything. And it's amazing to see someone who that's how their essence is. And that's the Maharal really saying. The Maharal's saying, yeah, you could Google anything, right? You could Google anything and find the answer. You have a question, you don't know what to do, you want to look something up. Okay, you could always find the answer. But when you're searching things up, it's not a part of you. It's not a part of who you are, right? The importance of knowing Torah is not just so that I can analyze the sugya better. The importance of knowing Torah is that when Torah is a part of my essence, right? When I have Torah as part of who I am, then it really can impact me. It can be the lens with which I see the world, and it can be the impetus for every action that I do. And that's what he really means. He writes it very, very clearly. I'm not going to tell all of it inside you, but he says that's what it really means, right? When we say Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa, the greatness of the Talmud that it brings to action is that Talmud becomes a part of who we are. And if we just learn it and we don't remember it, we don't take the time to really make it a part of us, so it can't impact us in that way. The way that it impacts us is that we make a kinyan on it, that we acquire it, that we make it a part of us. And I can't emphasize enough, it's something that I feel extremely, extremely passionate about. And it's something that he writes, by the way, that like 1 in 1,000 people do it. He writes, that's his language. So 1 in 1,000 people actually do it. But the idea of acquiring Torah, of not just learning Torah, and again, learning Torah is amazing, and a halavai, we should all grow up and we should learn Torah every single day. That itself is a challenge. But not just to learn Torah, but to really acquire Torah and to make Torah a part of who we are has such a different impact on our entire lives. To really view that Torah as something that's really become a part of us, that we see the world through that lens, and when we interact with something, right, and we say, you know, this is Torah, right? This reminds me of the sugya that I learned yesterday, right? You know, when we see, I always had such hana. I will say there's one sugya, no pun intended when I use the word hana, but The one sugya that I found that, like, when I taught it, and I still, to this day, Kobe emailed me this year, like, Zenanev is Elo Chaser. It's like the one sugya that, like, students really, like, they see the world through that lens. They're like, oh my gosh, I had a Zenanev is Elo Chaser moment yesterday. You know, I went through this. I have had it. I've had over the years. That's like the only sugya that consistently I get an email, like, at least once or twice a year that says, like, oh, I had a Zenanev is Elo Chaser moment. I did, you know. What does that mean to have a Zenanev is Elo Chaser moment? It means that it's become a part of us and we see the world through the lens of Zenanev is Elo Chaser. And that itself is such a powerful thing. It is the best shaman. It's the best sugya. It really is. I always say it's the best sugya. But I'm saying it becomes a part of us that we see the world through that lens. And we're able to see the world through Shorash Mishpacha Sapar. We're able to see the world through, you know, Bracha Rishona. Is it, you know, how we analyze the idea of Bracha Rishona. We're able to see the world through the different Torah that we learn. And the Hasidish Torahs and the Divrei Torah on the Parsha and everything that we learn. We're able to make a kinyan on that and acquire it. It's so, so important. And it really becomes a part of who we are. And I'll make one pitch for how to do that. And it's actually, I'll reveal to you a secret from how I'm able to give this year. The reason I'm able to give this year so easily, I'm actually going to open it for you and airplay it for you. Give me one second. Is I used to have a habit of things that I learned that if I really cared to remember it, so I would take notes on it. Now, what does that mean to take notes on it? So sometimes taking notes means to like make a, you know, to make a compilation of ideas that we see. So for me, again, I have a file for every single parsha of the Torah. And when I saw a Dvar Torah that I like, so I put it in that file for that parsha. You know, this is my parsha of Kosai. Okay, I saw a good word. I'll type it up and I'll put it in my parsha of Kosai. And there's some svarim that I learned over the years that were so, you know, impactful to me that I want to remember the sefer. So I'm gonna reveal to you a secret. This year that I prepare, I open the sefer and I look back at the sefer. When I learned the Maran HaSevat Torah years ago, this is going back, you know, many, many years now. So I took notes and I said, you know what? I want to be able to remember it. You know what I did? I took little notes on every single parak. I took out the main ideas of each parak. And then after I did that, as I'm showing you on the screen, so after I did that, I used to review this all the time. You print this out for a Shabbos. It takes 3 minutes to read through this, right? It doesn't take a long time. You take the notes. You spend the time on the time when you're learning it to write it down. That document is two or three pages, right? And it takes you 10 minutes over a Shabbos to read through it and remind yourself of what you learned. But if we don't spend the effort to really do things like that, to do things that are going to make us acquire Torah, so again, it's beautiful to learn, and I don't want to take it away. Halavai, seriously, halavai. Everyone on this year, myself included, should learn every single day of their life and to dedicate time to learning Torah. But to take it the next step and to take the time to really try and remember Torah, to take the step to try and remember Torah, to take, again, any action that we can, to take notes, to use our computers, to use the tools that we have to not just, again, have it go in one ear out the other, but take the step to try and remember it, that Torah becomes a real part of us. It becomes an S part of who we are. And that's Gadol Talmud Shmevelei D'Maisa. That's the Maharal's, you know, saying, is that we spend so much time learning and being Topla. And again, it's all great, but it has to become a part of us. When it becomes a part of us, then at least us doing the Mishnah can be like. And then we'll end with one last idea. He says, that's the shot on the Mishnah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Im ein chachma ein yira." Right? If there's no chachma, there's no yira. And he says, "A peirish zeh." What does that mean? Ki a yira. What's yira? Kasher adam yeshlo kirav el Hashem yisbarach az mekabel yirasa. Right? Yira comes from the fact that a person feels close to Hashem. When you feel close to Hashem, then you're able to have that yira. You can't have that yira if you don't feel close to Hashem. But what's going to bring you to have that closeness to Hashem? So the chachma, the Torah, right? The Torah that we said in the very first week that we've said continuously. The Torah, which is the knowledge of Hashem, Yedias HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Torah. That's how Hashem reveals itself in this world. So the more we know Torah, the more we're able to appear, and the more we're able to really connect to Him and have that closeness to Him, which ultimately leads to Yiras Shamayim and Avas Hashem and all those different things. So again, the idea of the Maharal of the week is that number one is that in order to acquire Torah, we have to do it one step at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. We're not going to now, you know, even if we're inspired by this year or any other year, we're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and know a Masechta Baal Peh. It's not how it works. We have to take the steps to do those things to really acquire Torah, whether that be, again, taking the notes that I showed you, whether that be, I'll give you a few other things that I've done over the years. And again, it's just things that I am not saying that I do it still. I'm not trying to say that I know so much Torah at all. But, you know, take a Masechta of Mishnayos and try and memorize it. Try and, you know, something that you can really know. You know, I took Pirkei Avos and I got through, I think, the first four Prakim. And I memorized the four Prakim. I spent time on it and I memorized it. But then you have that. You have it. It's part of you. It's part of your essence. It's part of who you are, right, that you have that Torah. And we have to take steps, especially at this time and this stage in life for many of us when we have the time. We have to take the steps to really hold on to Torah and remember it, and find a way to make it a part of us. Because the more that we're able to hold on to and remember it, again, the more it becomes part of our essence, and it becomes part of our essence that influences and impacts everything that we do, and really is a guiding light for our entire lives. Shkaya, I'm always around for questions if you have, but I'm going to.